Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to worship at First United Methodist of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We are so glad you're with us today, whether you are joining us online or you're here in person. We're glad that you're here. You've come on a really great day because today we are in a sermon series in which we are pondering questions that Jesus asked. And today Pastor Lindsay will be focusing on a question that's really at the heart of the gospel. Do you love me? Do you love me? I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor. Our worship leaders today are Paula Cunningham and Carol Kaputska. I invite you to complete those connection cards that you have in your bulletin so that we know that you're here, and over on the back you can sign up for so many wonderful things to do. If there is something going on in your life that you would like to request some prayer, please fill out one of those prayer request cards, and then you can put the prayer card and the connection card into the offering plate as it goes by. I don't see any children still here. I think they're already downstairs, but if there are kids still here in worship, they're welcome to stay, but they're also welcome to go downstairs and be with the nursery leaders and the Sunday school teachers. Well, we do have some announcements in this wonderful, busy church that is ours. Lent begins this week on Ash Wednesday. Lent is the 40-day period in which we prepare our hearts for Holy Week and for Easter. You are invited to come to worship on Ash Wednesday. You can come at noon at the Whitmore Lake campus. There'll be a full service there. Or you can come at 7 o'clock to the Brighton campus. We are also going to be live streaming the 7 o'clock service. But if you're going to do that at home, then you might want to figure out a way, if you want to have ashes, to have some prepared. Okay, then, throughout Lent, we're doing a church-wide study of a book called Making Sense of the Bible by Adam Hamilton. You can be part of a study group, and we have a number of them, or you can read the book on your own, and I do commend it to you. It's a really well-written, thoughtful, some ways surprising book. Copies of the book are available in our new little bookstore corner in the library. Have you seen that yet? That's where you can often get books for groups that you're a part of. All right, so this week, there's going to be two opportunities for you to eat with church friends. The first one's Tuesday. There's a pancake supper that the funds will go for Redbird. And then on Thursday, there is this meal that we've been trying to do for months and only succeeded a couple times because of snowstorms. So pray for no snow Thursday, and we will have open table lunch. It is simply a time to relax together, eat some. This time they're having roast pork, ginger orange carrots, rosemary. It's a fancy meal. And the cost is a donation of $5 to cover the cost of the food. So you can sign up on the back of the connection card for either of those things. Next Sunday, volunteers from our church are going to be packing sack lunches to be delivered to homeless people. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that? Wouldn't you like to make sure homeless people have food? The food that we pack will go down to Central UMC for the NOAH program, N-O-A-H. This is a great way for adults and kids to get involved in mission, To help, all you have to do is bring some food by Tuesday, or next Sunday you can help pack the lunches Sunday morning. To sign up, check out the post-it notes that are in the coffee hour room. There's a little bulletin board covered in post-it notes. You take home a post-it note of what you want to bring and bring it in by Tuesday. Then I want to point out to you and let you know and remind you, you know that this is a church that cares about justice and is working very seriously on that whole topic. During coffee hour today, you can spend some time walking around our justice fair. Suzanne Everett, who is our new director of mission and justice engagement, she tells me that the booths have been set up to include fun ways to learn about making a difference for marginalized groups. So go out and enjoy that. And, I think we're ready for worship. So I invite you to stand for our opening hymn.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we lift our voices to you in praise, in worship, and in love. We seek to understand and follow your ways. You have set the example for us of loving God's people. Show us where we can best serve in this life, whether it's feeding people physically, spiritually, or emotionally. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. is John 21, verses 15 through 17 and 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." The second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. It's great to be with you in worship this morning. I'm Lindsay Hall. I'm one of the clergy that serves at the congregation. A warm welcome to those that are our visitors with us this morning. I'm glad that you've come to worship with us this morning. As you heard from announcements, there's a lot happening. As you walked through the community room, there's a lot happening too. So I'm glad that you're with us if you're visiting today. This morning, we're continuing our sermon series, actually wrapping up our sermon series on the questions that Jesus asked. So if you ever had a Bible that had red letter words of Jesus that would pop out at you on the page to help you highlight what are those words that Jesus has said, these are these words that we've been looking at, those words that Jesus said and these questions that he would ask the crowds, these questions that he would ask his disciples. And so we're coming this morning to another really great, really great question. And I would invite us to start this time together in a spirit of prayer that we can center ourselves as we begin to dive in and look at one of these great questions of Jesus. Won't you pray with me? Oh, most loving God, thank you. Thank you for this hour and this moment where we can come and worship and this time set aside. Whether we're in the doors of the building, the church, or worshiping online, thank you for this hour of Sabbath rest and renewal. I pray, God, that as we worship together, that through the songs that we sing, that you might speak to us, and through the scripture lessons that we hear, that we might feel your presence and your calling, that through the breaking of bread and through the time of prayer and the exchange of hugs or handshakes, that your spirit may be present. Oh, God of Lord and life, God, we give you thanks this day. As we consider these questions that Jesus asked, help them to speak to us as well. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer, and you who call us your beautiful, beloved children of God. Lord, may you speak to me and through me. Amen. Who is hungry this morning? Who is hungry? I got out the door this morning without breakfast, but not my coffee. So I'm thinking about food, and I'll be visiting the hospitality table afterwards. But it has me thinking about food this morning. I remember growing up, we always had really good conversations around the dinner table. And if I close my eyes this morning, I can imagine my childhood home where my parents still live, and I can picture the kitchen. I can see our kitchen table and four chairs, and I can see my parents and my brother and I sitting around the table, always in the specific seats, like we were given a seating chart in elementary school on the first day of school there by our teacher. We always sat in the same seats. And I can close my eyes and I can imagine the dinner table conversations. Growing up, we always ate, actually, majority of our meals around the dinner table. We had good conversations as we passed the peas and we passed the carrots. And then on Sunday afternoons, my grandma would often join us for a dinner. We would move into the dining room and mom would get out the fancy china and the linen napkins. They were freshly pressed. My children don't get that. They get like Chipotle or drive-thru on Sunday afternoon. I'm too tired for that. and we would have good chats, and we'd sit around the table, and we'd discuss our days or what was happening the coming week, and maybe we'd have dessert, or we'd have an extra helping of mashed potatoes, and we'd push back from the table all satisfied and good. Oh, I can sit, and I can remember those conversations. There was this great combination of meals and chatting. They just went really well together. Do you guys have conversations around the dinner table still today, or can you close your eyes and remember some fond memories of mealtimes together? Do you remember that? Well, this morning, as Paula brought the gospel lesson for us, she brought us to another conversation. She brought us to a good combo of another meal and another conversation taking place, because this meal wasn't dinner. This meal was actually breakfast, and it was on the beach. It was out at the Sea of Galilee, and the cuisine that they were having was a fresh catch of fish cooked over a charcoal fire with bread. And part of this meal conversation, this meal combo conversation was between Jesus and Simon Peter, and then nearby there were six other disciples. There was Thomas and Nathaniel, James and John, and then two others that weren't named. But they were there. They were nearby. And so out there on the Sea of Galilee, we encounter these men once more. And I want you to know that the context of what we're talking about here, it's after Easter. Jesus died, he resurrected, he appeared to the disciples, and now he greets them out on the seashore for breakfast on the beach. And this seashore is familiar. It was there out on the seashore that Jesus had called some of them to come join in his ministry, and now he meets them again at the seashore once again to talk and to eat and to break bread together. There's always so much we can take away from the gospel lessons, but I think as I've been thinking about this scripture this week, one piece I think we can really take away from this story is that when we mess up, thanks to grace, Jesus is going to forgive us. So let's think about what's going on here. So Jesus and Simon Peter begin to chat, and perhaps their bellies are full, perhaps they've had these satisfied taste buds, and Jesus is asking these questions. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And there's this affirming response. Jesus does, and he gives these instructions to feed lambs. Okay, not stopping there. Jesus asks again nearly the same question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And again, right, we hear this affirming response, and there's this request to now tend to sheep. The final time happens, and Jesus questions, you know, again, and yet again, there's this affirming response. Yes, I love you, and now you're instructed to feed sheep. I mean, what's going on here? What is going on here? Are we stuck in some type of loop? Are we like in a Groundhog's Day thing? Did the gospel writer mean to include all these questions about sheep and feeding and do you love me? Are we stuck here? And I don't think we're really stuck in a loop, and I think that the gospel writer is doing something interesting for us to pay attention to. I think three is significant here. I think three is significant. Do you remember who Simon Peter is? You might know him just as Peter. And if you can recall, at the Last Supper, a previous meal, just before Jesus was arrested and sentenced to death on the cross, it was Peter. He shared that with Jesus that he was never going to betray him. And Jesus said, okay, great. But before the rooster crows, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Jesus is arrested. Simon Peter falls behind. He keeps a little distance. A servant girl notices him, asks if he knows Jesus, and right then and there, denial number one. A second time, Simon Peter is nearby, asks if others know Jesus. Nope, no, doesn't know him. And a third time, and the cock crows. Remember Peter's story? Three times of denial. And so with three times of denial in his history, I'd imagine that maybe Simon Peter is feeling pretty bad about himself, feeling kind of bad about what he has done, and now he has this opportunity to affirm his love for Jesus, three times denying, but now three times affirming through his words of love for Jesus, and he experiences grace. When we mess up, thanks to grace, Jesus will forgive us. He doesn't keep holding it against us. Let's continue thinking about this story. So Simon Peter tells him with these words, three times that he loves him. Three times he uses these words. He uses his words. Parents, remember when you had a toddler and you're just trying to get your toddler to use words, right? You're trying to get your, as a parent, you're trying to get your toddler to use words. Don't hit, use your words, right? Use your words, that's a great thing to do, but Simon Peter's not a toddler, he's a grown man. So words are good, words can mean a lot. But words can also be empty. Words can be empty unless they're really backed by our behavior, unless they're really backed by our actions. So for like example here, think for somebody, think of this for a moment. Have you ever told someone that you loved them? I'm sure you have. And who was that person that you told that you loved? You know, a significant other, a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend. And in telling them that you loved them, have they ever questioned if it was really true? Has someone ever questioned if you actually loved them? I mean, you communicated that you loved them, but why is it that they were questioning if that was true? I think here's the second thing for us to think about. Is that actions speak louder than words. We can say things with our mouth, but unless it's backed up by our actions, sometimes we can question it. Actions speak louder than words. Is our behavior supporting really what we're saying? I think there's this well-known phrase, right? Actions speak louder than words. Words are great, but it has to be backed by our behavior. By what we're saying, is it matched there with what we're really trying to live out? Toddlers have that figured out really well, that actions speak louder than words. I think teenagers have that figured out really well, but we as adults, we get it too. You know those situations, those times, right? For example, you can imagine this. A friend's gone through a recent cancer diagnosis, and they really appreciate your words of sympathy. But then when those words are translated into action, when you show up on their doorstep with a tater tot casserole or a DoorDash gift card for those of you who cannot cook like me, and you provide a meal for them when it's really hard for them to cook as they're going through chemo treatments, that's when those actions match the words that you're sharing. Or another idea, when if you or a loved one have been in a time of conflict and you actually set aside those time to work on the relationship, not just some words, but you really set aside that time to work through those conflicts or to commit to building up that relationship together, not just words, but time and attention together. It's not just words, now it's backed by action. When we turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 18, it says this in the Common English Bible translation. It says, little children, do not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. The Message translation says it another way. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. Let's practice it, not just talk about it. You know, for Simon Peter, it was he's going through this period of time when his words of what he said wasn't quite aligning up, right? Denial to saying he loves him. Those words and those actions weren't quite lining up. And now Jesus wanted him to take what he said he believed and propel it into action. Perhaps words weren't going to be enough. But he wanted him to have a little realignment and take another step forward and take what he says he believes and live it out into the world. Which gets us to that third point here. I think three for us to really take home this morning is that call to serve Jesus is then right before us. Are you listening? When he tells us to take care of sheep and he tells us to take care of lambs and when he's telling us to tend and care, it's right there. The call to serve Jesus is right before us. And it's not something we're supposed to do just with what we say we believe. But may our actions align with it and propel us to go forward in loving and serving our neighbor. There's so many different ways in which you might share love and care and compassion in this world. There's so many different ways in which you might tend the sheep of God. And we're not talking, right, literal lambs. We're talking about the people of God, humanity. There are so many different ways. Just scroll through the bulletin on Sunday morning or visit the Justice Fair or keep your eyes and your ears open to your community or look around your neighborhood or look around the world and you'll find something. How is it today and this week and this month and this year? How is it that you're going to let your faith be moved into action so that you're caring for God's sheep? How are you going to offer more kindness and care and compassion into this world? Maybe it's a tater tot casserole. That's great. There are a whole other host of ideas. And what the cool thing is maybe it's one of the ministries connected to our church, praise God, but maybe there is something else out there that you can do. I affirm and applaud that as well. Because what the world needs is a whole bunch of shepherds running around taking care of their flock. Y'all are shepherds. And like Simon Peter, you've been called, you've been asked, you've been pleaded with to get out there and to go make a difference. They'll know we are Christians by our love, number 2223. We just sang these words. They'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Oh, I love verse 3. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We'll guard human dignity and save human pride. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Shepherds, are you ready to work? Are you ready to get out there? We know that when we screw up, thanks to grace, Jesus forgives us. And we know that actions speak louder than words, so is our behavior supporting what we believe and say. And that call to serve Jesus is right before us. So are you listening? And are you willing to respond? Thanks be to God. Amen.
I have Hello.
Here I am, Lord. So, unfortunately, lately we've had some recent deaths from our congregation, so I wanted to let you know. Sue Neff passed away, and Judy Plumley. Judy's services will be Saturday, March 8th at 11 a.m. with visitation before that. We don't have any notice yet on Sue's services. And then last week we also had Bonnie Corrigan's funeral, and I attended that. And so Bonnie kind of inspired me this week. I'm wearing my name tag. I don't often wear my name tag. Sorry, people. And it says my name. And it, under it in parentheses, it says Owosso, because that's what Bonnie called me. She said, hey, Owosso. So it's in honor of Bonnie. But Bonnie was very a straight shooter, I guess you could say. She didn't fiddle around, so to speak. And so on my prayer today, I'm just kind of simple and straightforward, and we're going to pray. So let's do it. This one's for you, Bonnie. Lord, we love you. In these quiet moments, we are settling in and taking the time to say simple things like this. Those things that with life whirling by, we don't always take the time to say. We love you, Lord. God, in your glory, we raise our thoughts to you to fill us up, to ease our fears, to soothe our minds, and start our week by grounding ourselves using you. We take these moments to remember our purpose for connecting with you. We've sung our praises, we've heard your word, and we've attended, hopefully, to the sermon. We don't need to use flowery language. We don't need to speak using poetry or long speeches. We don't have to use complete sentences or even complete thoughts. We don't even have to use words. Lord, I started out as a teacher, and I've learned that sometimes it helps us to structure and organize our thinking. So, Lord, I'm going to give us bullet points to focus on our silent prayers on, and then I'm going to pause. And this congregation is going to expand on those points with their silent personal prayers. Then I'm going to give the next bullet point, kind of like sharing the headings that our prayers will fall under. So here goes. Number one, we love you, Lord, and want to thank you for those ways that you have shown us your love this week. Number two, give us guidance, Lord. Number three, we pray for those in need. And number four, help us to heal, Lord. I'm so thankful for this congregation and the wide variety of people, personalities, and opportunities that they have brought. We are so thankful for the missions, the retreats, the ministries that we come together to be a part of. And today, our prayer quilt ministry has put their skills to work to create works of art for Susan Mullen, Jeff Hine, and Appa Victory. And we send prayers of healing and strength to them and tie knots into these quilts that will go to wrap around them in comfort. So finally, we pray together for our prayer quilts, for comfort and healing for those that they will wrap around. So, Lord, we bulleted our prayers, and hopefully that helped organize. You're hearing all of our prayers all at once, and we wanted to just give you a little organization and structure. And to finally wrap up our prayer, let's give us the big old Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hope you enjoyed that one too, Bonnie, from your Owosso.
As we gather around the communion table, it's a space to break bread, to share a meal. The holy and sacred meal where we can imagine the table never ends and the number of seats available never end, because all are welcome to come and dine and to eat and to feast and to come experience the bread of life and the cup of grace given to us through Jesus Christ. We come and we remember. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread and he gave thanks. And he broke his bread and he gave it to the disciples and he told them to take and to eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then when the supper was over, Jesus then took a cup and again he gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it. He gave it to them and he said, drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you may in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy, as a living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering as we proclaim the mystery of faith, saying, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again.
Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
My friends, like Peter, we too are called to feed lambs, to care for sheep, and to do it in the name of Jesus. One way we do that is by supporting our kids when they go to camp. And so today, if you would like to help with that, you can, to help a kid to have a scholarship for camp, you can give a gift. Just write the word camp on the envelope and place it in the offering plate. Another way we, of course, do that is simply through our tithes and our offerings. So I invite the ushers to come forward to receive our gifts.
You wouldn't know it by the cold weather this morning, but the weather will get nice and summer will come. And once June, July, and August rolls around, our kids and our teenagers are going to be very busy and getting excited to head off to church camp. So it's a great joy to have with us in worship this morning, Allison Vitale. She is our program director for our United Methodist camps, and it is a delight to have her in worship. So you probably remember Pastor Allison for working with our children and our youth, and she loves children and youth. She just works with them in a different context now. She works with them at summer camp, and so it is so great to have her today to share a little bit about camp and and extend an invitation. So go ahead, Pastor Allison.
But they're welcome to stand here in support because they have been to camp now many times. Well, I would be amiss if I didn't at least say to all of you, I miss you so much. I can't say that to all the churches I go to. But truly, 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 you guys are very special and I miss you very much. So last summer, on the last day of the last week of camp, if you can picture with me, I was inside of like a chapel space. And in that space, there was a group of 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. And they had been at camp all week as part of an arts camp. And we were gathered in a circle. And at that time in the camp, at that time in the evening, we're usually in like a fireball experience. You girls remember doing fireball, right? Okay, so the cool thing at camp is you get to kind of meet, have a church-type experience, but around a fire outside, right? It's very cool. Well, this particular day was full of rain and storms, and we had to go inside. So as I made my way to the chapel, I was like, oh, man, you know, how are we going to make this cool? Because it's kind of a bummer. We're inside. We're at camp. And I get there, and the students were, like, way ahead of me. One of them had grabbed a piece of paper, and they had written the word fire on it, okay? Yeah, and they put it in the middle of the room, and they had already gathered around it in a circle. And so, you know, they were ready. And that's, like, the main thing about camp is redirection at any time, right? Things change, and we just keep going and make it fun. So when we sat in the circle, though, at the end, students started sharing about what camp had meant to them. And one ninth grade boy, he said, you know, this is the thing. Some of you, this is your first year at camp, but I'm telling you right now, you have to come back, and I'll tell you why. Camp may only be 1 week of your life, but this is my third year here, and this 1 week has changed my life. And of course I knew, you know, then, well, that's why we're here, right? That's why, whether we're outside with a cool fire or we're inside making the best of it, that's why we're here. And so that's why I hope all of you will, you know, play a part in getting our kids and our youth to camp this summer, including you guys, because we have so much to share with them. Our theme this year is the Grace Way, and each of those words, each of the letters in grace just stand for something, and it's the idea that we want to share with everyone who's there God's love, that they would know they are worthy of God's love. We want to share with them a time to rest.
We were able to send 24 kids to camp, had a summer camp experience throughout the summer, thanks to your amazing generosity. So I just want to say thank you again for supporting the discipleship of our young disciples. And now let's take a look at the screens for some fun camp memories and moments.
No matter your age, life can be hard, but summer camp with Grace Outside empowers you to rise to the challenge. Campers learn a different way of doing life, a grace-filled way.
Wild and wonderful grace, so bountiful swing, going to the sea. So
we're
Wesley Woods Camp and Retreat is home to summer camp for children and youth. Adults experience grace at year-round retreats at Lake Huron Retreat Center and at Adventure Camp Kayak Pictured Rocks. Differently abled adults connect with the Graceway at God's Treasures Camps. Families live the Graceway at Grand Camp and camping at Lake Michigan Family Campground, or booking a cabin at Wesley Woods Camp and Retreat for a fun holiday weekend.
Lord, we thank you for the many ways you have blessed our lives. We bring our offerings to the ministry of this church in the hopes that others will be blessed through our giving. Use these offerings to spread your love to all. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, I look forward to seeing you for pancakes on Tuesday, ashes on Wednesday, and Thursday for the open table. And until then, stop in the community room and check out the Justice Fair. And now may you go forth with the love of God with you, the peace of Jesus surrounding you, and the power of the Holy Spirit helping you and filling you and giving you strength and energy to go out and to love and care for those sheep. Go in Christ's peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.